Arise is a platform where God is raising an army of men that knows God, loves God, and live their lives in the light of God's word.
Welcome to Arise Shine Christian Network.
Spirit of God, we come to you tonight. You are the only one that can change a life. You are the only one that can shift us from this level to the level you have desired for us. Dear Holy Spirit, we submit to your ministry tonight. See to it, Lord, that our lives never remain the same again. Let your word come indeed to change us. Let our eyes be open. Let our ears hear you tonight. And let our mind receive of your ministration tonight. Father, we vow to give you alone the glory tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the fellowship tonight. I pray that the Lord will visit us and change our lives tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll plead with you that you pay attention to the message that the Lord will be bringing to us again tonight. The Lord has launched us into a section of a series of message, having explored and brought us to the knowledge of the reality of spiritual laws. And then he began to teach us one after the other the laws of the spirit. Last week he started with us by exposing us to the law of death and glory. And I would only plead with you that you please listen to that message again and again. The truth that you heard does not change you. It is the truth that became a part of you that really changed you. Hearing once does not have the ability to transform you and to change you. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing. By hearing the word of God. God was not stammering. God does not stammer. When he said faith comes by hearing, he knows that there is a first time you would hear the word. And then he said by hearing again. So it means hearing it once does not change you. Hearing it once does not birth faith in you. You must sustain the ability and the diligence to pay attention to the word again and again. Paul said to the people at Philippi, he said, to me, it is not burdensome to me to say to you the thing that I've communicated again and again. Because in repetition is impartation. In repetition is impartation. When the word comes to you times and again, you hear it until it leaves a deposit of the grace that the word comes with, and that grace now rests on you. You've heard me say it times and again that the grace of God rides on the wings of the instructions of God. In other words, the grace of God rides on the wings of the word of God. Where there is no word, there is no grace. That's why the Bible says it is him that worketh in us both to will. Why will we have the willing? Because an instruction came that asked us to do. So when the instruction came, we are willing. And in that will is also the power to do. He said it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do. So when we pay attention to the ministry of the word, it sustains the ability first to change our mind to be willing, and then it gives us the ability and the energy required to take the right step. You will be surprised that the most intelligent person amongst us will only remember 10% of what was being taught here last week if you never go back to it. The most intelligent will only remember 10%. Some of you, if you ask you now, okay, what was the last week meeting all about? Okay, what were the points that were given there? What was that thing you left this place? You will be shocked even to yourself. As impactful as the world was to you at the moment of receiving, you will be shocked that right now you are trying to rack your head to remember the points given and you could not remember anymore. This is why you must give attention continually to the word of God. Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, pay attention, give yourself wholly and continually to this word, so that you're profiting. What you hear once cannot profit you, talk less of making you profitable to the society. It is what you hear again and again. Knowledge comes by hearing again and again. Transformation comes by hearing again and again. Faith comes by hearing again and again. So it is important that when the message is communicated here, when the Lord speaks to us here, when you get back home, be like the Berean Christian. Don't just write a note for the purpose of having a note. Go back home and revisit what you have written. Go back online and listen to it again. These are the benefits we have in our days. In the days of the generals, in the days of old, there was no means of recording a tape or a message that was given to them. So you hear some of the very ancient messages in a scattered, almost fainting and unclear tape. And you hear the fathers listen to it again and again. It's important. If you are ever going to grow, it's important that you pay attention to the continuous feeding of the word. In the course of our human life on the earth, you don't eat once and grow. Do we have anybody here who eats once and then grow? No. You don't eat once and then continue to grow. No. Your growth will stop when your feeding stops. As a matter of fact, before you ever grow at all, you must have had accumulations of feeding. Is that true? So it means consistent feeding on the right food is what accumulates into the growth of human body. In the same vein, consistent feeding of the right information is what culminates into the growth of the mind of the man. When you are bankrupt of feeding of information, you will be stagnant. Another message is coming to us tonight. Don't just hear it and just say, oh wow, what a powerful message again. No, God is intentional about what he's doing with us. He's intentional about what he's doing. Every message he brings to us is as a goal. Every message has a goal. Every message has a reason. God doesn't just do something advancedly and say, okay, what is the next thing? Let them just take this one. No. God has a house he's building. Remember that every house is built by some men, but God is the builder of all things. And the material, like I would not be tired to tell you again and again, the material for building is the ministry of the word. Anybody who promises you spiritual growth and take the word away from it is a liar. Is a liar. You don't grow by falling under the anointing. In fact, you can be falling, and the more you fall, the more stupid you are. You can fall and be broke, and you have been falling for 10 years, and the more you fall, the more your account falls too. Because we don't build men by falling them. I'm not against falling. You know we do all of that here by God's mercy. We understand the dimension of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But if all you gain out of a meeting is that I fail, you will keep falling and never become anything. In fact, let me tell you something that should annoy you about falling. Every time you fall, you must know what that falling must result to. Listen carefully to me. Every time a minister of the gospel, either here or somewhere else, say the power of God is coming, the grace of God is coming, take it, and you feel something eat you and you find yourself on the ground. When you get off the ground, you must be able to know that this is the new thing I got. Otherwise, your falling is the falling of a foolish man. If you fall and you get up and your environment cannot say that something has changed and that will come later to you telling them, you must change because I fell, then you are a foolish man. Because God doesn't just throw men under the anointing. When the anointing comes and fell you, it's because there is something he's doing in your life. Every falling, every message, every prayer has a hymn. There is a target in the heart of God. There is something he's desiring. There is a desired goal. There is an end. God is not just gathering us here every Saturday and every Wednesday just to entertain us. No, sir. God is intentional about the construction of destinies, this place. And like I shared with a group earlier on, you can be in the midst of a group that is advancing and yet your life will be stagnant. Time will tell what you have been doing with this information. Hear me again and again. It is true that you are young. It is true that you are naive. It is true that, okay, the message is coming at a time where you have not tasted the pain that will make you pay attention to the message. But God is salvaging your life from the pain. That's why he's giving you what will make you escape the pain. Haven't heard all that you have heard. Haven't known all that you have known. If you still have a very deep, a terrible future, it is your fault. Like I told someone yesterday while I was talking with him, if you fail in finance, it is your fault. If you fail in marriage, it is your fault. Because you are not the only one on the earth. There are people succeeding in marriage. Why not find out what they know? There are people making it in finances, no matter what happened in the economy of the nation. Why not find out what they know? Another message of God is coming to us tonight. And you can sit there and just deceive yourself and sleep off. Why your destiny also sleep off? But you can sit up tonight and say, Lord, my heart is open. Construct in me again the man that you made from the beginning. Construct in me again. I told you what the Lord told me on Wednesday. I told you why we're having the encounter night. The coming days are the days of spiritual dryness. Only men that have drunk enough will be relevant in that time. So when this word is coming, it is to the end that you will hit, for the journey is great. You don't find a people killed behind a well that does not have water in it. No. No matter how far away that well is, in as much as there is water there, people will travel. Those who will trek, will trek. Those who will go on the bike, will go on the bike. Those who will shatter a cab, will shatter a cab. Because there is something in that well that they need. They will travel kilometers into the bush to get the waters that is required. If you can become that entity in the coming days, people will come from all over the world to drink of that fountain from you. Isaiah told us in his prophetic declaration, Isaiah 60, he said, Gentiles shall come to your light, not to you. He never said Gentiles shall come to you. They don't need you. They need your light. And if you stand and you have no light, nobody will come to you. Every man is needed for what he has. Everyone who comes to you, everyone who calls you, everyone who celebrates you, everyone who will communicate any level of honor to you will communicate because of the value you represent. Not because you are a man. You are not the only man on the earth. Not because you are a boy. Not because you are what? No. It is what you represent. The value that you represent that will determine the honor that you will receive. And this is the construction of men of value. If you don't want to end your days in pain, if you don't want to end your days in regret, like many of our parents and many of our loved ones, elderly ones are doing already, if you want to sit back in your old age and be glad for the decision now, make up your mind to pay attention to the word of God. The wisdom of men will fail. Only the wisdom of God will stand. So tonight, The Lord will be bringing to us another law, second to the law of death and glory. The law of death and glory seeks to bring us to the place where, at the center of our lives, the only thing that matters is God. The law of death and glory brings us to the place where we understand that whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. It seeks to bring us to the place where we lose sight of our strength. We lose sight of the help of men. We lose sight of the advantage that comes from the arms of flesh, and we give all our attention to the one that can really help. And so tonight, after we have accurately understand and engage and submit to the law of death and glory, the next law, if you would ever be relevant, is the law of transformation. And so tonight we are going to be considering the law of transformation. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It's projected. Can we all see? Can we read together since it's projected? 1, 2, go. Verse 2. Go back to verse 1. Let me read it for the people. Paul is speaking here, and he's speaking to us. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul is begging us. Is pleading with us on what to do with our lives. And listen to what he said. That you present your bodies. Pay attention to the presentation of the word. That you present your body. It means then you are not your bodies. That you present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable to God. Which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. He has told you what to do with your body. Let's go to verse 2 now. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He has told you what to do with your body. Now he's telling you what to do with your mind. The first thing you do is that you present your body. You present your body unto God. The second thing you do is that you subscribe to the transformational ministry of the Holy Spirit to your mind. He said, and you do not conform to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, the more renewed your mind is, the more transformed your life will be. Paul is teaching that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. When you subscribe to this that Paul has taught us, it means that your life will be a perfect reflection of the good will of God, the perfect reflection of the acceptable will of God, the perfect reflection of the perfect will of God. In other words, when you look at your life, and your life is bankrupt of what you know the will of God to be, it means there is something you are missing in what Paul has asked us to do. Follow me closely tonight. The will of God is not ambiguous. The will of God is not hidden. The word of God is a presentation of the will of God. God states to us expressly concerning every area of our lives what his will is. When it comes to our health, it said to us that I wish above all things that you be in good health. So it's not something you need a prophet to vibrate before you and say, this is what the will of God is concerning your health. You already know that when it comes to God, his will for your health is that your health will be good. And that's why he broke those will into three parts. The perfect will of God is that you live in sound health. The acceptable will of God is that you receive healing. The good will of God is that you are taken care of in the hospital. That's not my teaching for tonight. So each of them are the mercies of God serving in the people. But your level of renewal will determine the category that you will stay. Some people, their level is that every time they fall sick, they receive medicine or the ministry of doctors. Doctors are also ministers. And when they receive that ministry of doctors, they become healed. That's a level. It's the good will of God. Many receive that ministry of doctors and are never healed. The acceptable will of God is that when you first fall sick, that acceptable level is that when you fall sick, you receive divine healing. That's still a level, but that's not the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is that you live and never be sick. And where you stay is determined by the level of the renewal of your mind. When Jesus gave us the parable of the sower, he said, when the seed fell to the good soil, he said, even though they all fell to the good soil, they didn't bring out the same level of harvest. Some produced 30, good soil, good seed, the same sower. The other produced 60, the same sower, the same soil. The other produced 100-fold. What determines all of this? The level of the transformation of the soil that he has received it. So Paul is telling us, if you ever want to live in the perfect will of God, the first thing is to submit your body. Live as a sacrifice on his altar. The second is to subscribe to the transformation that comes by the renewal of your mind. So that immediately suggests to us that man is a being with three components. Are we together tonight? Please pay attention. Man is a being with three components. Man, primarily, the main aspect of man is spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Please don't forget that for as long as you live. Don't just know it by head. Let it sink in your heart. So if you understand this simple statement, you will know that the affairs of your life must not be governed from your body. Your body should not tell you how your life should be. Your spirit must be the one in charge of your life. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in the body. This is very important that you know. Every man you see, born again, not born again, sinners, madman, whatever man you see, is first a spirit. I hope you know that the spirit of a madman is not mad. No. The spirit of a madman is not mad. It is the soul that was hijacked by demonic influence that makes the body to demonstrate madness. A man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Your spirit make contact with the realm of the spirits. Listen carefully. With your spirit, you make contact with the realm of the spirit. You commune with the realm of the spirit, with your spirit. Your body has never been to the realm of the spirit before. Just like your spirit has never been to the earth before. The day your spirit will be to the physical realm is the day you die. And a matter of fact, it will not even come as to see physically. No. Your spirit lives in a realm called the realm of the spirit. The realm of the spirit is not heaven. The realm of the spirit is here. There is a realm called the real realm of the spirit. And this realm has two versions. The good, positive side of the realm of the spirit and the negative side of the realm of the spirit. Are you with me now? In the positive side of the realm of the spirit, we have angels. We have the living creatures. We have cherubims. We have seraphims. We have God. And we also live in that realm. In the negative realm of the spirit, there are demons, fallen angels, wicked spirits, thrones and powers of darkness, and Satan himself in the negative. All of this exists in the realm of the spirit, where your spirit also lives. Is somebody with me tonight? The second is your soul. With your soul, you make contact with the intellectual and the emotional realm. There's an emotional realm, sir. Follow me closer. This is a very mature teaching that you need to understand. There is a realm where your mind dwells, where your emotions dwells. It's called an emotional realm. That is the realm where somebody can talk to you, even though the word passed through your ears, a travel dance to that realm, and you begin to cry. That means the word that person is speaking has passed from the realm of the physical, has entered into the realm of your emotions. Is somebody with me? Because with your soul, you make contact with your emotional and your intellectual realm. And with your body, of course, you know, we make contact with the physical realm. So can we do a little recap? With your spirit, you make contact with the realm of the spirit. One. Number two, with your soul, you make contact with intellectual and emotional realm. Avoid distraction. And with your body, you make contact with what? With physical realm. It's important that you understand this. When people die, the one we call death on the earth, when people die, what aspect of them go back to heaven? Their soul dwells in their spirit. So as the spirit lives, the soul lives with them, and then they leave the body. Your body is the uniform you need to function on the earth. Your body is your resident permit on the earth. I'm going somewhere. So when men die and you see their dead body, that is not the real Baba. That one you carry around and you shake and dance with is not Baba. Baba has gone. That one you shake around is the clothes that Baba wore when Baba was on the earth. So you must understand always that man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in the body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Just listen to me. So loving the world that He gave us His Son. Oh yeah, that is life as atonement for sin, and open the life gates that all may come in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. I sang that song because the Lord said there is somebody here tonight that after tonight it will begin a work in your life and in your family, that the only thing that will be able to communicate the depth of your gratitude is that song I just finished singing. That's why I took that time to sing that song. It's not a special number. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Follow the trend. It's talking about the complete nature of man. So He's saying the God of peace brings sanctification to you completely. May your whole spirit, if a man is sanctified completely, this must happen to that man for him to be completely sanctified. He said, number one, the whole spirit of that man must be sanctified. Number two, the soul of that man must be sanctified. Number three, the body be preserved blameless. In other words, sanctification only in the spirit without affecting the soul and the body is not called a complete sanctification, because man is broken into three compartments or three components. Man is a spirit. You see it here again. Your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. These are the three entities that makes a complete man. You will never meet a man who is active and alive who will say, I don't have a soul. It's a lie. You will never meet a man who will say, I don't have a spirit. Every man is a spirit. Every man lives in the body and they have a soul. In fact, everyone whom you claim dead on the earth only left the realm of the physical and moved to another realm where they can live forever. That's why you hear me say times and again that every man lives forever. Your great grandmother still lives, only that she no longer lives in this realm. This house is not mature. One of these days, as we grow, I will bring us into a teaching that will show you that both we who live on this earth and those who have departed, we still live in the same sphere. And there's a dynamics, a formula in the spirit that once in a while you can have access into the realm where they dwell. But that's not what you can undo for now. That's not what you can undo for now. But let's keep growing. So man is a spirit. Man has a soul. Man lives in a body. The law of transformation has a place that it affects. First, let me try to state for you what the law of transformation is. The law of transformation states that the level of your mental renewal is the boundary of your manifestation. I'll say it again. The law of transformation states that the level of your mental renewal is the boundary of your manifestation. The level, that's the summary of everything I'll be teaching you tonight. The level of your mental renewal is the boundary of your manifestation. Genesis chapter 13 from verse 14 to 15. Genesis 13 from verse 14 to 15. Give me NLT, please. Thank you. Look at what the Bible says here. God is speaking to a man, the father of faith, like we like to call him. And God said these words to him. Genesis, and look at what happened. After Lot was gone, the Lord said to Abram. After Lot was departed, we know the story so well. The Lord said to Abram, he said, look as far as you can see in every direction. Give me the next verse. He said, I am going to give you all the land to you and to your offspring as a permanent possession. But note how he started with them. He said, as far as you can see. Give us the New King James. He said, as far as you can see, so will I give unto you. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot has separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are. In other words, before you ever travel to a level, your eyes must have gone there. And in this state, it's not talking about your physical eyes. These physical eyes is just to chart your physical course of life. These eyes cannot take you far. As far as your eyes can see, lift up your eyes where you are. Where you are. You might be in a state right now, but if you can subscribe to this formula of lifting up your eyes and look to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Give me the next verse. It said, for all the land which you see, not which exists, not which exists. The land that exists is so much, but how much can your eyes see? There is no limit to what God can do. There is no limit to what is available, but how much can your eyes see? The real eyes that chart the course of our lives, you will be learning later on tonight, is your mind. As far as your eyes can see. Look at the painful part of it. Every time I read this scripture, it gets my attention. as far as your eyes can see, I will give to you and to your descendant forever. So it means the level of your sight does not only affect you only. The level of your sight also affects your descendants. So if you have a myopic sight, you will not only bring pain to yourself, your children and your children's children will live in that limitation because they have a grandfather that had a myopic sight. Pay attention tonight. As far as your eyes can see. Transformation therefore simply means the growth of the mind. The growth of the mind. The growth of the mind. Let's talk about the seat of transformation. Knowing fully well that man is an entity of three components: the spirit, the soul, and the body. Where amongst these components is the seat of transformation that determines the course of human's life? Let me tell you that your spirit has been made perfect. The only aspect of your life that is being worked on is your mind, which is in your soul. Your spirit has been made perfect. That's why you heard me say it times again here that you have been saved, you have been saved, you shall be saved. Get our teachings. I might not have time to dwell on some of these points. You have been saved. The day you gave your life to Christ, you were made perfect and complete. Your spirit was made perfect and complete. You have been saved. That is the ministry of transformation that will keep going until Jesus comes. You shall be saved. That salvation of your body will happen the day Jesus appeared. Even those who are dead will be quickened back, and their body will take up immortality. That is the salvation of the body. Right now, what is going on is the salvation of the soul. So it means that the seat of transformation is the soul. Your soul is the seat of the transformation. What is the soul? Your soul is the house of your will, your mind, and your emotions. It's the teaching. You have to pay attention tonight. Your soul is the house of your will, your mind, and your emotions. That's what makes up a soul. The seat of your mind, the seat of your will, the seat of your emotions. Are we together tonight? Yeah. Then let's now settle down and talk about mind. I did all of those introductions to communicate to you, to give you varieties of knowledge. Now let's settle down and talk about the mind. The mind is the epic center, the control center of the life of a man. Follow me very closely now. I'm going into the core message. The mind of a man is the control tower of the life of that man. Every man is controlled from his mind. Everything that will be is as controlled by your mind. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Give us NLT and also the good news. Please, I need speed tonight. Life givers. Above all, because our journey is so far, I'm just warming the plane. Above all, it's giving you an advice by the Spirit of God. Guard your heart. Read with me the next line. Read with me the next line. Read it from the beginning. 1, 2 with a loud voice. It's amazing that what affects everything you do is not even your spirit. As important as your spirit is, if you have a large and robust spirit, if you have a small and minute mind, your spirit will still be at the mercy of your mind to find expression. Above all, much more than what you do, much more than what you pay attention to, it said, guard your heart. Put a barricade around your heart. Why? He said, but everything that happens in that heart determines and affects everything that happens in your life. Can I tell you the truth tonight? The decision to put on the clothes you are wearing now was made by your mind, not your body. See how helpless your body is. If you decided to wear agbada to this place, do you know your body will not reject it? Because your body is not in charge of your life. What determines what you wear, what determines where you go, it's not the legs, it's not the body. Even though you put it on the body, but the center that controls all of these things is your mind. If you pay attention to what I'm teaching you tonight, you will so be blessed and you will never live a small life. So I need you to focus. You woke up early this morning, your body did not tell you put on that Ankara. No. You pick many clothes, maybe some of us pick like one or two clothes, and your mind, your body did not say, no, this is what I want. It was your mind that told you which one to wear. Even though your mind doesn't wear clothes, your body does, but your mind determines what the body put on. Guard your heart, the scripture says. Give me the good news version, sir. Guard your heart, the scripture says. Look at what the good news says. It says, be careful. What does it say? How you think. Read it last night with me. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. I thought my life is shaped by witches and wizards. The power that be. Foundational powers that has kept me to a hold. The Bible is saying no. They are not the one that determines the course of your life. There is a general that determines how far you go. We pay too much attention on the enemy without. You notice I've been striking these things on these days. We pay too much attention on the enemy without. We focus at times, we dissipate our energy contesting with external enemies. As long as I acknowledge that ministers must teach the believers how to put on the whole armor of God and fortify and combat the enemy. But our battle is not really to combat the enemy. Our battle is to establish our victories. But if all you do is to pay attention to external enemy, I told you last week, let me tell you again, if you win the enemy without, if you don't take charge of the enemy within, you will still fail. Because the one that determines the course of your life is not the witches and wizards. That was why Moses strikes me every time I talk along this line. That was why the Canaanite could not kill Moses. The Jebusite could not stop him from getting to the promised land. But there is something under within him that prevented him from accessing the promised land. It was within. All along, using sword to kill all of the enemy without. He lifted up his hand at the time Joshua was fighting in the valley. Moses was lifting up his hands and many of their enemies were slaughtered and killed. Why Moses was lifting up his hands? The real enemy was there inside, watching and telling him, you will not get to the promised land. Be careful how you think. Be careful. The Bible is so instructive. And if you pay attention to the instruction of the word, you will never miss it in life. Be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. This is so true and so profound that your thought is the architect that constructs your life. So when it comes to this, what your daddy did or your daddy did not do does not really matter. It cannot determine your future. What somebody around you has done or did not do cannot even determine how far you go. The only one that determines how far you go in life is your mind. Your mind. Your mind. If the whole world stands against you and say you can never do it, if your mind stands with you and say yes, you can do it, and you align with the dictate of your mind, you will get it done. History is filled with many inventions that even professionals in that field criticize and say it can never happen. The Wright brothers called themselves and said, let's make an object that can fly and be sustained in the air. Every scientist around them said it's not possible because of the law of gravity, but in their mind they already lay hold on it. Be careful how you think, for your thoughts shape your life. The message that started is a good time to ask you, could it be, and of course it is, that where you are right now was the thoughts that you had yesterday, either positive all negative. Learn to take responsibility for your life if it will ever matter in this world. Every time you shift the responsibility of your life to something else, you are shifting your life, the lordship of your life, also to that thing. If you say it's because of witches and wizards that have stopped you from accessing what God destined for you, you are saying that they are super and they are in charge of your life. I know so well, a long time ago, I am absolutely responsible for the outcome of my life. I'm absolutely responsible. I learned it a long time ago. If I fail, I fail because of what I did not know or what I know. If I succeed, I succeed because of what I did not know or what I know. God is available to help men succeed. If you don't yield to Him, you will still fail. The devil is still walking around on the earth to make men fail. If you don't yield or cooperate with him with your mind, you will still succeed. Be careful how you think. Be careful how you think. Let me give you 7 facts about the mind. 7 facts about your mind. Affect my life, breathe on me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Lord, I look to you. You are the Holy Ghost. No, hallelujah. Fact number 1. Are we still together tonight? Fact number 1, your mind is the control tower of your life. Keep the scripture there, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Your mind is the control tower of your life. What you are going to eat tonight, even though your mind does not eat that kind of food, but what you are going to eat tonight will largely be determined by your mind. Everything you do is decided at your mind. So your mind is the control tower of your life. Listen carefully. If I walk up to Pastor Show now and give him a slap, it is not my hand that is slapping him. It is my mind that is slapping him. My hand is only obedience to what was initiated in my mind. If I put hand in my hand now and give you money, it is not my hand that is giving you money. It is my mind that is giving you money. You see that now? If I drop this mic now and walk away, it is not my hand dropping the mic. It is my mind dropping the mic. So your mind, don't forget this as long as you live. Your mind is the control tower of your life. This is why you must pay attention to the control tower of your life. If you were taught that the steering, the wheel of a car, is that which controls the path that the car turns to, you will not ignore the wheel and look at the bumper. You will not ignore the wheel and look at the brake. As important as the brake is, you know what the brake controls. The brake controls either the stop of a car. Is that true? The brake does not determine what direction the car turns to. Your mind is the control tower of your life. Learn this again and again. Witches and wizards, the devil, God is not the one controlling your life. Your mind is the control tower of your life. Your mind is the control tower of your life. That's a fact number 1. Fact number 2. The difference between two people is largely determined by their mindsets. The difference between the poor and the rich is not their bodies. No. In most cases, poor people have muscles and rich people are just very slim and very there. So what determines a people is not the body. The difference between two people is not their body. The difference between two people is largely their mind. The difference between the one failing and the one succeeding is not the body. When you hold a pen in an exam hall, it is not your hand that is writing that exam. It is your mind that is writing the exam. When you fail, it is not your hand that failed. It is your mind that failed. Hear me again and again. I'm bringing it very simply so that you can all flow. When I begin to build, you understand. Is somebody with me? The difference between the armed robber and the doctor is not their body, it's their mind. Come. Quickly, run. It will be good for me to use this example. You are putting on white. You are putting on black. Okay. God forbid now. Let's say this one is a tout under the bridge. Don't worry. God forbid. Don't worry yourself. You are not a tout now. You are a tout for Jesus. Yes. Follow me closely. Just pay attention. Let's say this one is a tout. What he's doing is to pick people's pockets. What he's doing is to cause trouble, break bottles. If anywhere is peaceful, something tell him that is not the normal thing. There should be trouble there. How will something be peaceful? And this one is a fine gentleman. In fact, a doctor. When he sees anybody sick or trouble, he wants to know what is wrong. The difference between the two of them is not their body. Even though this one hands know how to break bottles, it is not the hand that is breaking bottles. It is the mind that is breaking bottles. Follow me very closely. Even though this one knows how to use the cutlass, how to cause troubles, it is not the hand that is causing the trouble. It is not the cutlass that is cutting the people. It is something in him that is causing the mayhem. If I'm going to transform this one to become like this, I'm not going to tell him go and put on the white shirt. This is why you will understand that when you want to help a people, as much as material giving is very important, if you are really going to change a people, giving them material things alone will never change a man. Until you change a man's thinking, you will never change the man's life. Can I tell you the truth? If this person who is a tout were given this cloth, given one day, that white cloth will go back to the color that the mind really puts on. His mind will tell him the level of the kind of life you live cannot use the clothing that is a white material. No, you will cause trouble, you will break bottles. What about the blood? What about the smoke? This one you cannot wear it. Not because the body will reject it when the body wears it, but because the mind has been programmed. The mind has been programmed never to receive anything that looks like that. Again, in this example, this is the rich, this is the poor. This one will be looking at this one, say, thief. Anyone that makes it, just they makes it by crooked way. They must have cheated someone or stolen money from the government's cover, and that's the only way men can make it. And this one will know that there are certain laws and principles that the more I keep engaging, I should never be poor in life. This one will keep becoming richer, while this one will keep becoming poorer. Not because if you put money in the hand will reject it. But if you put that money in the hand, give him 1 week, the money will go away. Because the money cannot stay in the mind. Can I tell you that whatever you have and whatever you become is largely from your heart. This is why at death, when both body falls to the ground, You don't know the difference between the body of the rich and the poor. If you go to the morgue and they bring the dead body like they used to bring them out of the freezer now, when they bring out the body, you cannot look at the body and say, oh, this is the body of a rich man. No. All the body will look alike. Because what really makes a man is not the body of a man. Understand what I'm teaching you tonight. You will, as much as you will pay attention to your body, which is very important, you will know that the real epicenter of your life is your mind. Please give me volume, please. Fact number two. The difference between the two people is not their body, it's their mind. Mechanic, doctor. When the doctor needs to fix his car, even though he's educated, he cannot do the work of a mechanic. He will run to the mechanic. Even though he's educated, his arm can hold the spinal. I said this many times to my mechanics and the people who works on my car. I will say, tell me what to do. Is it not the same hand? They will say, even when we tell you what to do, you cannot do it. Why? Their mind has been so trained to understand by just looking. They can tell you what is wrong with that car. The same way a novice can call me and begin to tell me, oh, this has happened in my account, this and this and this. And immediately I will understand, no, now that thing was taken. It's called maintenance charges. And you have to say, oh, I was worried. Because my mind has been schooled along that path. So the difference between you and anybody you are in life is your mind. Hear me, brothers and sisters. If you can get the mindset of Bishop Oyedepo, you will produce verbatim the result of Bishop Oyedepo. If you understand what I'm teaching you tonight, you will know that it is not necessary to live a fake life. The people you are living like and you want to demonstrate their life, even though you are not there yet, why not get the material that construct their mindset and give them the result? Result don't come to your body, it comes to your mindset. It comes to your mindset. It comes to your mindset. There is a reason why you will meet somebody, even though you know you are older than that person, and yet you will go on your knees to greet the person. You are not greeting the body, you are greeting his mind. There is something that has been allowed in his mind that is superior to what you know you have. So the difference between two people is the mindset. This is why two people may not be the same. Even as they are standing here now, literally speaking, there is something this one knows that this one does not know. There is something this one knows that this one does not know. Are you with me now? Can you play drums? Very well. Can you play keyboard? Very well. Why can't you play drums? Don't you have the hand to play the drums? Don't you have the hand to play keyboard? You see the difference now. His mind was cool to play keyboard, and he's playing the keyboard excellently well. His own mind was cool to play drums. Every time he gets anywhere, he's looking for drums, because he knows he has been trained to be a master over that thing. When this one gets here and sees drum, he walks past it, because he knows he doesn't have mastery over that. Not because he doesn't have the required equipment, the hand, the leg that is required, but he doesn't have what powers the hands and what powers the legs. Can I tell you the truth, sir? Even when you have all the equipment, if you lack the mindset, you will not get the results. Hear me closely, brothers and sisters. This is the reason for many failure in business. You simply know that they do buying and selling. They buy goods from Aba, they sell it in Ibadan. They buy goods from Onitsha, they sell it in Ibadan. All you see is the buying and selling, but there's a mindset that powers buying and selling that really bring profitability to the person doing the business. If you get money to buy and to sell, and you lack the mindset of a successful businessman, you will fail woefully. I'm coming with a powerful message from the Lord tonight. Please pay attention. The difference between two people, never forget, it's not their bodies, it's their mind. The mind. The mind. The mind. Last example with these two people, then we continue. This is a policeman. This is a prophet, a deliverance minister of the gospel. Pay attention. This is a policeman. This is the deliverance minister of the gospel. Are you with me now? When the two of them see somebody who is stealing, when this one sees somebody who is stealing, he sees somebody to shoot down and say, he's a thief. But this one is seeing from another perspective, saying nobody just steal. There is a demon that is making that person to steal. You see it now. The two of them are looking at the same thing, but their interpretation is different from that same thing. When a policeman looks at the thief, he's looking at somebody who is a criminal to shut down and then go to bury him. But when a man of God who understands spiritual realities looks at the thief, he's looking at somebody who needs help because he's under the influence of demon. Are you with me now? Doctor and pastors, this is why I don't expect controversy. There are certain ailments that doctors will tell you, take medicine. Pastor will tell you, no, bring the demon, let me cast him out. They are looking at the same thing, but they are seeing it in different perspective. What determines your life is the state of your mind. The two people are differentiated by their mind. There are certain things I can no longer think about again forever that I used to think about. There are some things that you would consider a challenge, but even if somebody else is standing before it, they will not see a challenge. The mind. Please go and sit. Let's continue tonight. Fact number what now? For that fact number two, give us Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Look at what the Bible says there. 1, 2, read. Just the first line. 1, 2, read it out. Read it again. Make it personal. Say it again. Now let's read it from the back. Let's read it from the back. And this will insult you. But please take the word for true. So it simply means, I am like this because this is what I think. My finance is like this because this is how my mindset is for finance. Follow me, please. I'm not insulting you, but I've come to shake you up and to give you a new paradigm. My health is like this because this is what I think. For as I think in my heart, so am I. If I think I can never live a whole year without being sick, then sickness will come. Because whatever I think is what I permit. If I think I can never live with a woman as a wife without beating her once in a while, so will it be. Because your mind is the gatekeeper of your life. Whatever you permit with your mind will find expression in your life. As it thinks in his heart, so is it. So when we say my personality, the word personality really means the summary of your mindset. That's what it means. When you call somebody rich, it's not the body that is rich, it's the mind that is rich. When you call somebody poor, it's not the body that is poor, it is the mind that is poor. When you swap the poor for the rich, in a matter of time, you will know that somebody is sitting at a place that he does not belong. Because the way, have you seen people who sit in the plane for the first time? And they have really been deprived in their minds and ideology. As the guy is sitting, he says, hello, I'm playing by you. You will know immediately that his body is sitting at a place his mind has not gotten to. And that will only happen once in his life. Because there is another law that states that whatever was not conceived and established in your mind cannot be sustained in your life, even when you enter into it once. Have you seen wonderful Nigerians get to Heathrow Airport in UK? And the moment the guy lands, I had a story of someone like that. I think it was US, the guy went to JF Kennedy Airport. They said the moment the guy landed at JF Kennedy and came out and said, "Ah, hey, today, Egba," they picked the guy and threw him back to Nigeria. What happened to him? His body came to the US, but his mind was still living on the street of Mushi. I know you are laughing. Tonight is different from last week, but please pay attention. Have you seen many of our honorable Nigerian students who will come out with first class, and they will go everywhere with first class certificates, and they will not be able to get a job with it? What is the difference? Their body got the first class, but their mind never got the first class. Let's go to number three. Number three, whatever is not built in your mind cannot be seen in your life. If it comes, it will not last. Pay attention to this fact that I'm giving you tonight. Whatever is not built in your mind cannot be seen in your life. If it comes, it will not last. How many of us have ever gotten an alert in our account before that was so much? You danced and everybody knew something was wrong, and that was the last time you ever got that alert. There are many of us that once in a while we dive into the realms of some certain realities, and that reality just fizzle out of us. Your hand got it, but your mind never got it. Whatever was not built in your mind, whatever was not built in your mind, can never be seen in your life. If it comes by any means to your life, it cannot last. It cannot last. It cannot last. How many of us have heard the story of people who wants to be a millionaire? Go and chat. Go, those who have won millions amongst them, go and find out what they became 2 years, 3 years after they won millions. They went back to where they were. They won the million, but their mind has not transformed to the realms where they can effectively manage that kind of money. So the money goes back. Here is how my great referral teacher taught, said it along this line. He said, when you try to pull to your life anything that has not been established in your life, when you try to push it to your life, whatever has not been established in your mind, he said it will go back. Because your mind must first acknowledge and accredit any reality that you will ever see in your life. If it was not built in your mind, it will never stand in your life. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Look at what the Bible says. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, pay attention, above all you can ask, number two, or think. So God did not say, as long as you ask it, I will do it. Mm-mm. What you ask or think. If what you ask negates what you think, you will not do it. So whatever is not established in your heart should not find expression in your life. Very important. Fact number four. I'm rushing because there's a place I'm going where I will really settle down and do the teaching. Fact number four now, right? Yeah. The possibility of man is limited to the vision of his mind. The possibility of a man is limited to the vision of his mind. The possibility of a man is limited to the vision of his mind. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13. He said, as far as your eyes can see, the eyes the Lord is talking about, that it's not the eyes the physical eyes. How many places can the eyes of Abraham see physically? And yet Abraham possessed the whole earth. Melchizedek came back to tell him, blessed be Abraham, the possessor of heaven and earth. So it means when the Lord said, as long as the eyes, your eyes can see, Abraham saw the whole world. Where will you stand on the earth where you will see the whole world? There is a place you can stand. It's called your mind. You can stand in your mind and see the whole world. All of our fathers in the faith, everyone doing exploits in our generation, all of the fathers, when they were alone in that one little room, they were seeing the nations coming to them. Adeboye, Baba Adeboye, our great father in the faith, said when he was living in one room apartment, he saw Redeemed Christian Church of God in every family. At a spot, where would you stand that you will see such happen in the world? Because it's the law of the spirit. Whatever you can see, you will get. Is it not becoming a reality already? He said, he see redeemed at almost a stone throw each of the branches towards each other. At a point where they scarcely have branches, even in Nigeria, is becoming a reality already. There is nobody who is great in life now that did not become great in their mind first. When you are becoming great in your mind, it's not evident for the world to see. Do you know you can become so great in your mind and the world still treat you as a pauper, only for them to see the emergence of what is inside? Bishop Oyedepo screamed at the time in his life. He said, yea, I can never be poor. And when he was saying that, humanly speaking, is what he was living in, abject poverty. But because his mind has grasped the reality of kingdom prosperity, in a matter of time, it begins to make manifest. Possibility, the possibility of a man is limited to the visions of his mind. So even God does not put boundary to how far you can go. Even God does not determine how far a man will go. I told you I encountered with the Lord again and again, and he said to me, I don't determine how high men fly. It is the extent of their preparation and alignment that determines the height of their manifestations. Your background cannot be a limit to where you can go. Your background is not the determining factor to where you would go in life. Your mind is what determines how far you go. If they take you to a beautiful house and you say, and your body wants it, but your mind says, no, me, not my class. Even when they give you, in a couple of days, your mind will take you back to the bachelor where you belong. Your possibility is as allowed by the visions of your mind. What can your mind see? What can your mind see? I know you are still writing WAEC. I know you are still trying to get a job. I know you are still trying to go around life as almost you don't know where you are going. But what do you see? Every time you stand before a mirror, what do you see? Who do you see? Who do you see? Do you see another man who will be added to the number of people suffering and laboring in the world? Or do you see a man feeding the nations? Do you see a man who will live his life in healing and wholeness? Or do you see a man who will live his days in sickness? What do you see? Your sight is the boundary of your life. Your sight is the boundary of your life. Your sight is the boundary of your life. If your eyes can see, your hand can undo it. What do you see? What do you see? Facts number 5. The mind has no limits. Whatever can be conceived there, if properly nurtured, can be bettered. The mind has no limits. Whatever can be conceived there, if properly nurtured, will be bettered. Hear me again and again. Your mind is the womb of your life. Genesis chapter 11. Let's read from verse 1. Genesis 11 from verse 1. Let me read this beautiful story to you. And you just pay attention to the screen. Look at what the Bible says. Now the whole earth has one language and one speech. God is speaking. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of China, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And as they come and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Follow closely. They are contemplating. They're having a meeting now. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we scatter abroad the face of the whole earth. They call themselves and they're having a meeting. They're having a deliberation. But look at what the Bible says in the next verse. It said, but the Lord came down to do what? To see the city. They have not built the city. They are still having a meeting. Let's build a city. Let's build a tower. But the Bible said immediately in the next verse, it said, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. It means while they are contemplating it and agreeing on it in the midst of them, and it becomes a reality in their heart, the Bible says in the realm of the spirit is already built. That every time a reality is established in your heart, it is completed in the spirit realm. Let us make a city for ourselves. Let us build a tower for ourselves. Let us do this. And while they are merely contemplating and debating and agreeing on the dynamics to engage, the Bible says God came down. God came down to see the city. Were you not told that God said, come, let us make man in our own image? And man was only made when we go to Genesis chapter 2. Yet when God, in Genesis chapter 26, God said, the Bible said God spoke to man and said, replenish the earth. Which man was he speaking to? At what realm? Were you told that everything was made twice? Everything that will ever last must be made twice for them to last. The chair you are all seated on now was made twice. There was a time that chair was an idea in the mind of someone. There was a chair, this pulpit was an idea, a mental picture with no physical evidence. But the reality, the law of the spirit states that when something becomes a reality in your mind, if you will engage the right principle, it will become a reality in the world. Everything you see in your life started as an idea. Look around. Everything you see started as an idea. Everything you see began at an idea. Nothing just appeared. The speaker you see, the mic I'm holding, there was a time somebody sat somewhere and said, let me build a mic that will look like this. This does not physically exist then, but because it exists in the mind of a man, it became a reality on the earth. Have you sat down to think about the magnitude of the mind of a man? That the mind of a man can imagine what does not exist and yet bring it to reality. Somebody sat down and imagined a car. Somebody sat down and imagined the chair you are seated on. Somebody sat down and imagined the keyboard. That we can make a platform that when you press it, produce different kind of music. It's an idea of a man at a time, but it became a reality that we can relate with. There is no limit to what the mind of a man can do. It's the womb of your life. Whatever you can conceive there, if you nurture it, it will come to pass. Can I tell you the truth, brothers and sisters? Do you know that your mind cannot undo impossibilities? Do you know your mind does not understand impossibilities? I'll give you an example. Don't think about bread. What did you just think about now? Don't think about rain. What did you just do now? Rain. So it means every time you say something is impossible, you are only stimulating your mind. If you will engage your mind, you will see the possibility of it. Because your mind does not understand impossibilities. If you want to teach a child, don't tell him the things he should not do. Tell him what he should do. Have you imagined that when you tell a child you must not fail, the child will come back home most of the time failed, because the fear of you must not fail will drive him towards the path of failure. Sailors have this to say every time they warm up in their trainings, sailors, that when you want to tell a sailor to avoid an iceberg on the sea, you don't tell the sailor there's an iceberg. You tell the sailor, go through this path to avoid the iceberg. That if you tell the sailor, avoid the iceberg, most of the time, the sailor will crash on the iceberg. Because what you focus your mind on magnifies. Because your mind functions as a womb. Anything you sow there will grow and become birthed in your life. I don't want to sin. Oh Lord, I don't want to sin. The more you think about sin, the more you commit sin. But if you will lay it to heart to think about your righteous state in Christ, you will discover that the more you contemplate on His righteousness that exists in you, the more you live righteously, unconsciously, that you will ever live in sin. I don't want to borrow money anymore. No. That's not how to go. You will borrow again. You will borrow again. How do I escape debt? Take away your eyes from debt. There must be a way I can always have what I need. As long as you focus on the way to make provision for what you need, you will forget about the option of debt and you will leave debt forever. As far as your eyes can see. Law number five now. Or number six? Yeah. Number six. Your limit was set by your mind. Write it down. Your limit was set by your mind. And guess what will happen? God will have to comply with it. When your limit is set by your mind, God will have to comply with it. In your name, we will rise, Adonai. You reign on earth. That when you set a limit over your life by your mind, even God will comply. God will not say, no, this is not where I want you to get to in life. I planned that place for you. When your mind says, this is how far I can go, God will get there and stop with you. Psalm 78, verse 41. Psalm 78, verse 41. Verse 41. 78 and verse 41. Look at what the Bible says now. Follow this closely. 41 is what I asked for, please. Look at what the Bible says. It said, yes, again and again. What happened? They tempted God. Can a man tempt God? They didn't do it once. They did it again and again. Look at the next one he said they did. And limited the Holy One of Israel. So a man can place a limitation on God. God is unlimited, yes. But your mind can limit God. There is no limit to what God can do in the life of a man, yes. But your mind can set the boundaries to where God can never go. God can heal my body, but when it comes to finances, I have to hustle. God will heal your body and lead you to hustle for finances. Whereas the same power that heal your body can bring favor to you in your finance. They limited the Holy One of Israel. When your mind set a boundary, listen carefully to what I'm teaching you. It's very powerful, much more than running on the floor under deliverance. If all you do is to fall under the anointing and be delivered in terms of casting out devils, if your mind is enslaved, your life will be enslaved. Because your mind, even though the favor of God has been placed on you, do you know that your mind can restrict the function of favor?
There is a way somebody can call you and say, send me your account number. And your mind will say, don't send it. They can't send you money. How can somebody just call you and give you money?
Your mind is actually the limit to the manifestation of God in your life. All you see is not all there is in God. It is what your mind permits in God. Pay attention closely tonight. All you see, all you experience, all you are experiencing is not all that God can do. It is the extent to which your mind permits God. If you are planning to grow older as a parent, only for you to rely on your children to feed you, God will make it happen verbatim. But I make up my mind that even at my old age, I will still be bringing forth fruit, so that my great-grandchildren will be taken care of by me. Not because their parents are not responsible, not because their parents are not around. I will have so much so that when I'm done and gone, I will leave inheritance for my children, for my great-grandchildren. Because that's the word the Bible says. Bible did not say a good father is fed by his spirit, by his children. He said a good father leaves an inheritance. Africa taught us the reverse. That you must, when you grow old, your children must not be the one you depend on. That's not the kingdom way of life. Now, as children, you must take care of your parents. I'm not negating that. But I'm telling you that if you, as a young person right now, already you are thinking, let me take care of my children so that children can take care of me. That's not the purpose of taking care of your children. You are not made to grow old and become an object of charity. Africa taught you that. That's not the way of God. I'll never grow old and look at any of my children, either biological children or spiritual children, and look at them and say, Alpha, what can I get? No. No. That's not the way of the kingdom. That when I'm old, spiritual children will come and we have resources to give them. Not because they don't have. As much as they come with, my plan is that when you come to me with 1 million, when you are going, you will go with 2 billion. That's the way of the kingdom. Your mind is the boundary of the experience of God that you have. Number 7, which is the last one on the facts, and this is very important. Number 7. Now, I'm going to offend many of you now. I'm going to offend you. Are you ready now? Are you ready to be offended now? Good. If God says yes and your mind says no, your mind will win. When Jesus says yes, nobody is a lie. If God says yes and your mind says no, your mind will win God every time in your life. So when Jesus says yes, there is only one man that can say no. The witches, no. The devil, no. Who will say no when Jesus has said yes? You can say no. The Bible says, in the book of Romans chapter 8, it said, I want to remember how you put it verbatim. He said, who shall stand against the elect? There's a way you put this word I just said now. When it makes it open. That when Jesus said yes, that this is it, thank you very much. He said, no, this is not what I'm looking for. There's a place where he said, who can stand against us or something? When God be for us, yes. If God be for us, who can be against us? That is it. If God be for you, nobody can be against you. The witches and wizards cannot be against you. But you know you can be against yourself. Do you know that the reason why people are going to hell now is because God said yes to their salvation, but their mind said no. Somebody just breathed the last breath now and is on his way to hell. Not because God said no to his salvation. God said yes. God has saved him. God has offered him salvation. To not experience that eternal damnation, yet his mind said no. Either his mind is telling him you are too bad to be saved, or his mind is telling him leave those noisemakers who are calling themselves Christians, and now he's going to suffer eternally for the decision that his mind made on the earth.
Not because salvation is not available.
Salvation is available, but his mind rejected that salvation. And even God, as powerful as God is, could do nothing against it. When you say no, even when God is saying yes, your mind will win God every time. Numbers chapter 13 from verse 27. Is somebody blessed here tonight? Numbers 13 from verse 27. Look at what the Bible says. Then they told him, this story is a very popular story, when now the children of Israel, they sent out 10 spies to spy out the land of Canaan, where they are about to possess. And 10 people went out and they came back with this report. Verse 27. It said, then they told him, they came back to give Moses the feedback, and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. Milk and honey is the fruit there. Look at the next verse. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified with very large and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendant of Anak there. Give me the next verse. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the bank of the Jordan. Next verse. Then somebody came up and said something. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. 10 people went to a place. 8 people came back. All they saw was impossibilities. They saw the giants. In fact, in a place, they said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, in our own eyes. What eyes were they talking about? The eyes of their mind. And because that was what they saw, and the law of the spirit is that whatever your mind permits is what your life experiences. Joshua and Caleb, who saw the possessing of the land possible for them, were the only people that gained access to the land. All the other 8 died and could not enter the land. It is against the law to possess what you did not see. God has given them the land. It has been given from the side of the Lord, but their mind could not lay hold on it. And because their mind could not lay hold on it, their hand could not lay hold on it. If God says yes and your mind say no, your mind will still win God. Men of God, if God opens your eyes right now and you see the dimension of the anointing to heal the sin that is resident in you, you will know that you don't need to pray for more power anymore. But why have you not been able to release any of those anointing? God has said yes by releasing the grace, but your mind say no, you can't heal the sick. No, don't mess up yourself. You think you must get to apostle level before you can do that. No. Many of us, lavish wealth and prosperity have been released to us, but our mind kept us in the place of poverty. And as long as your mind keeps you in poverty, God will do nothing about it. Can I tell you, sir? God has done everything that is to be done about every areas of your life. He's not doing anything again. That's why the more you grow in the knowledge of Christ, the more you understand what belongs to you in Him. The more you understand it, the more you open your heart to receive it. What really happens when you call a miracle in your life? It's not because it's just happening. It's because your mind now is just permitting it to find expression. So your mindset is so powerful that it can even stop the flow of God's anointing. Growing up in the faith, God taught me some very striking thing about prophecy. He said, a pure word can come from the Father and be corrupted by the vessel that it comes through. Do you know that a real, genuine prophet can wrongly communicate the prophecy of God to mean what God is not saying. Somebody can look at you and see chains in the realm of the spirit and say, I'm seeing captivity. Whereas the chain that God is revealing is an ornament of gold and beauty. But because his mind has been trained that every time you see chain, it means captivity, he will give a wrong interpretation. What you are supposed to receive, you will cast. Because a man's mind could not accurately interpret the word of God. Joseph gave us an example. Two people had a dream, brothers and sisters. They both saw the same thing. Basket, basket. Fruit, fruit. And they had different interpretation. Your mind is very important. Haven't gotten born again, your next assignment is the renewal of your mind. If you don't renew your mind, you know you will still go to heaven, but you will suffer casualties and end as mediocrity on the earth. This is not taught in the church anymore. What we pay attention on most days in the church and bless our hearts is fight demons. Kill witches. If you kill all the witches on this earth, it doesn't equal to your success. There is a stronger enemy in your inside that cannot be killed the way you kill witches. It must be renewed. Teachers like this, I like to take them simply and take it bit by bit, so that the goal is not just to wow you with revelation. Get to a place where you sit down. What have I believed that is the reason for the pains in my body? Who taught me that I must get to 40 before I break through in finance? Many of us Africans, we have been taught that if you ever build your house at a 20 or a 30, you must have cut a corner. Who taught you that you hit the fish at the end of the meal? Why are you laughing? Is it funny? Many of you have been so conditioned that if you go out of your location and they serve you with two fishes, you will almost say, no, I'm the only one I want to eat, so come and take one back. Because you have been so trained that as a man, you eat one fish per time. You see how well your mindset can place a limitation on your life. Growing up, I would go to the park. If I'm traveling to Akitu-Ekiti, you know what I'll first do? I'll go to the park and ask them, how much is Ekiti? They will tell me 1.5. I'll look at them and say 1.5. I will now stroll. I look for one corner. Oh, many of you still do it. May the Lord deliver you in Jesus' name. I will now do Ekiti. What they call 1.5. I will take it for 700. And my mind will tell me, don't mind them, stupid people, they want to cheat you. But as I begin to grow, one day I was going to Lagos. Listen up. I was going to Lagos to catch a flight. You have booked a flight that is well over 50,000. My mind was not saying, I'll get to toll gate now, stop by the road and take solid. I told myself, I cast that devil. The same you who can afford a flight. Okay, so you will have looked for where they take flights. Sole. I know you are laughing, but this is the way many people have been given favor. And they said, no, not me. No, I cannot. No. Can you do this business? It will bring us to me and say, business, millions, 419. You want to go there again? Because your mind tells you that if you want to break through, you have to break through 50,000, 80,000, 100,000, 200,000. Gradually. Yet, God can pick you from penury today and launch you to billions tomorrow. That's how God works. But your mind has taught you it has to be gradual. If it ever comes at once, it must be a demonic power behind it. I told myself again and again, I will never by the road stand again to pick a cab anywhere. It was a phase in my life. Thank God I enjoyed it, but I will never go back there again. Every time you go back to the class that God has taken you away from, you are telling God, you did a mistake by taking me there. This is where I belong.
going to book a flight one day, I think from Abuja to Ibadan. And I looked at the cost of the flight and I advised myself, I'm not hurrying anywhere. Why should I take a flight of this amount? I would do so many things with this. And the mind said again, you are past that level. Don't downgrade yourself. Sometimes many of you need to take a trip. Sometimes many of you need to walk into a place just to shift your mindset. Let me run quickly. How do we form mindset? We form mindset basically by four factors. I'll just give you this one, then we'll move on. I want to wrap up quickly. How do we form mindset? Mindset formation. Number one, our mindset are formed by our upbringing and past experiences. Somebody taught you unconsciously that you must finish your meal before you eat the fish or the protein, whatever is put on it as protein. Somebody taught you unconsciously, and bless our mother, if you dare eat your fish at the beginning of the meal, we abuse you and tell you that you have done. It's not the same belly the whole thing is going. I can see one mother already laughing there. That's their work. Mindset formation through our upbringing. Do you know that certain beliefs have crept into our life by the upbringing that we have? Look at many of our parents. Do you know that this concept of money devotion did not start with them? It started with their grandfathers. Their grandfather woke their father up by 6 a.m. to pray before they go to farm. They were not educated, but that one they never missed. And then when the grandfather died, the father also continued, and that was the same way they were trained. So it became a belief. They believe their day is not complete until they have done that thing. Now many of them have sung the same song for close to 100 years. You know that song, good morning Jesus, good morning Lord, how we enter. That's the same song their father sang, passed down to them, and they pass it down to many of us. I want the generation how we trivialize such a thing. Your upbringing can shape your ideology, your upbringing. If you live in a home full of poverty, you will need a mercy of God to let you know that riches and prosperity is real. If you lived in a home where the first 25 years of your life, like myself, was lived in a face mask, slap your apartment, you will need the mercy of God to let it be known to you that living in a flat, living in a 4-bedroom apartment is also available for you. You will need a renewal of mind. Your upbringing. I will never forget, every time I eye building a house, all I'm thinking of is build a 3-bedroom apartment. Because everybody I see around me build 3-bedroom apartment, 4-bedroom apartment. If they have money, they will build 4 flats. 3-bedroom apartment flats, right? And then one day God brought me, I'll bring you there in a bit. In contact with a dead man. And he said, let's take a stroll. Let's go and see the project. And I stood in front of the house and I began to shout, sir, are we building a factory? Are we building a mall? He said, this is my house. He took me to a sitting room. The sitting room alone looks like from here to the back. I said, he's not going to sleep or wake up. He said, I love to be big things. I knelt down, I will never forget, in that room. And I said, Lord, destroy mediocre mindset from this mind. If he can do it in his life, you can do it in my life. Your upbringing. Subtly, he has given you some mindset. Akume cloth is also good. This is not cloth. In fact, it's grade one. It's your upbringing that taught you that. Do you know there are people in this nation, children in this nation, who have never seen anything called Akube before? Yet, there's another group who have never seen a new cloth before. That you tear a cloth from a nylon and you say, this is directly from UK. No, they have never seen it before. And tell me, will they both grow and believe the same thing? No. If you take that one that grew up with Akube clothes, take him to the boutique and buy one shirt for 15,000, the guy will feel cheated, knowing that one shirt, 50K. Let's go to Dubai down. I'm doing something, please pay attention. You are the one paying, no, it's not the one paying. But the guy will stand there gnashing his teeth and say, ah, their things are expensive here. We are telling him, no, it's TM. It's TM. He said, what's TM? And the guy is thinking of how many shirts he can buy with that 15K. What has happened to him? His ideology, his upbringing, has taught him that it is okay to keep wearing Akube things. May God deliver you from such mindset tonight.
Number two, factors that shapes our mindset. Number two, environmental influence. Environmental influence. Environmental influence shapes our mindset. Hear me again and again. Your environment matters again and again. The area you live, the family members you have, the friends you keep can determine a lot about what you believe. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. First, sir. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. Look at what the Bible says. The man of God is talking to us here. So I say, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Ow! For I dwell in the midst of people, of a people of unclean lips. In other words, when you give birth to a child, no child comes with unclean lips. But when you give birth to a child in the midst of people of unclean lips, you don't need to teach that guy to say nonsense. He will say their slang verbatim. You don't need to teach a child how to smoke. All he needs to do is to live in the company of those who smoke. He will smoke verbatim. He said, they that walk with the wise shall be wise. They that live in the midst of the wise shall be wise. If you find yourself in the midst, keeping company with rich people, if there are seven, add yourself to it immediately, because you are now eight. You can't live with rich people and never bite into their ideology and not be rich. No matter how rich you are, if you live with poor people, you will end in poverty. Your environment. Many of us will need to change where we live deliberately. There are certain areas I can't. Where it's gone, that's the past tense in my life, by God's grace. I can never live. There are people living there. Those are the people living there. Your environment shapes your mindset, and your mindset shapes your life experience. Number three, factors that shapes our mindset. Number three, your belief and your faith. This one, let's liken it to religion. Your belief and your faith. Your belief and your faith. There are certain beliefs in this country and in the nations of the world who believe that you will need to do so much for you to be accepted by God. Is that true? Do you understand what I'm saying? That God accepts you based on what you do. Such a person, to let him know you love him unconditionally will be difficult for such a person. Because even God Almighty loves me based on what I do. How can you say you just love me unconditionally? It's a mindset. It's up to you. But that's what they will believe. There are certain people who believe that they are slaves and that God can kill them anytime. Such a person, he does not understand what it means to have a right and privilege, because a slave never have rights and never have privileges. So you see what your faith and belief can do to your mindset. Blessed be the God for the liberty we have in Christ. Many of us can wake up and say, oh Father, thank you. Oh, you love me. And you just lie without thinking about lying. Your faith, your belief can determine how well you go. By God's mercy, I'm open to the body of Christ, and I meet all manner, and I belong to all aspects of the body of Christ. But sometimes I just stand and ask myself, people don't ask questions. Because if you don't know the reason why something is done, you will not benefit of it. Have you ever asked yourself and said, sir, why do we wear this white garment to church and not any other garment? Sir, why don't we wear sandals? Why do we wear barefooted? people just believe and absorb it, and then they walk in it. Now, I'm not against it. I'm not speaking against it. I'm only saying that becomes a norm to a people because a belief and a faith system presented it to them. The same way many of us in the Pentecostal believe that until you pray and shout, God cannot hear you. Do you know that a young man was, a wise man was interviewed at the time. They asked him, if you sleep and you find yourself eating in the dream, what will you do when you wake up? He said, praise God, I will find out what I ate in the dream and eat it physically and drink water and thank God for bringing the menu, the right menu to me in the dream. That's a white man. Africans, you see the way you are reacting already. If you sleep tonight and somebody bring a banegusi to you, I'm sure you will ring my phone immediately. Apostle, something is happening here. I just finished a banegusi. Now, listen carefully. As simple as what I'm saying is, do you know it is your mindset that interprets as an attack? Everything the devil does is to get your permission. Some of us will be going to a place of work for interview. You will eat your left leg and say, let me go back. It's not good. Your mind has been trained by that culture and tradition that every time you eat your left leg, it is wrong. But if you eat your right leg, it is, can I tell you something? Your village people are after you. Have you seen people who will enter a place where it's so dirty and unkempt, and cobwebs will eat and say, you are here again. Shabba. It's your mindset. It's your mindset. If a bird cry by your window early in the morning, you will wake up and begin to pray. Sometimes it's your mindset. Now, I'm not against the fact that demons and demonic powers can walk through these mediums. But I'm saying, even when they are walking through that medium, your mindset still authorizes their operation in your life. Smith Wigglesworth, a great preacher, one midnight by 12 o'clock, said he had a rocking chair. He had a chair rocking at the sitting room downstairs. And then he put his clothes along his girdle to see what was happening there. And when he got there, he saw that it was the devil with arms sitting on the chair and rocking, scattering everywhere. Smith Wigglesworth said he simply looked and said, hey, Mr. Satan, when you are done, put that place in order. I'm going back to sleep. And the man went back to sleep. Can you go back to sleep? Let me tell you something. The power of God is available in your life, but it's at the mercy of the renewal of your mind. When I pray for anything here, you heard me say it times and again, no matter the devil that we cast out here, when I go back home, I'm not going back to do vigil. I say, Lord, in case they want to come back, fire of the Holy Ghost. No, I go back home. If it's a night I want to sleep, I sleep well. If it's a night I want to pray, I will never mention it once in my prayer. Because there's a mindset that fortifies me. I did whatever I do in the name of Jesus. If you are going to fight or you are going to rebel against what I have done, you are not going to fight me. You will go and fight Jesus. If I slap you in the name of Jesus, you are not going to fight me for slapping you. You will go and fight the one that asked me to slap you. That's the mindset that I carry. Whatever I do, as long as I'm doing it in the name of Jesus, I cannot be held responsible. If a staff of First Bank, operating in that office collects money from you and spend it, you will sue the bank, not the person. The bank will pay you back. They can now deal with their staff, but they will pay you back. So when I'm the staff of heaven, when I destroy the power of darkness, you can't fight me. You will fight the kingdom of God. That's my mindset. Because when you expect an attack, the attack will come. Mindset formation, the last one. Social norms. Mark 7 and verse 13. Social norms and culture. Social norms and culture. Let me pray one prayer for you now. Every one of you seated here right now, let me say it in Yoruba so I can carry with. Ejiriomo. Oma toju yi o. Good.
I see the way some of our mothers saying the baby ami o Oluwa. This is why you have so much pressure the more you grow. You know what Africa and social norms and culture has done to our parents? The more they grow old, they begin to resign as things that pertain to their destiny. You hear parents sincerely praying prayers like, Lord, whatever wonder you want to do in this family, do it through these children. Me, I'm old. I know my own is done. Yet, God is saying, yet, I want to do a new thing through you. But social norms make men resign. I was talking to one of my fathers along that line, biological father, my father. And I said to him, I said, Daddy, do you know God still wants to use you at this age? He said, me? Well, and in the color shall be me low. I couldn't help him. Because there have been subtly taught that when you grow old, you become a welfare object to your children. To the extent that many of them curse their children when they refuse to do that they expected from them. Now, it is wrong for a child not to communicate honor to your parents. Bible states that expressly, Ephesians chapter 1, in chapter 6 and verse 1, that you should honor your parents. But I'm saying, change your mindset, Africans. Change your mindset, young people. Don't grow up to become a liability over your children. That's not the way of the kingdom. Jesus told them there, he said, making the word of God of no effect. How? Through your traditions. So you can, with your traditions, make the word of God of no effect, such that God wants to bless you in certain way, but your tradition has said, no, you don't become blessed that way. This is the way you become blessed. There was a time it was ringing bell in this nation that it is through hard work that people make it in life, until this computer age comes. I've discovered that those who are making it big time are not the one doing the hard work. Now, they can do hard work intellectually, but they're not the one breaking the rocks, doing the hard labor job. This has affected our educational system. When you want to choose a course now, the next thing your parents will ask you is, are you sure you will be able to get a job when you are done studying this course? Who taught you should go to school to come and seek for a job? Culture. This is why when you come into the kingdom, you must renew your mind. You can't operate with the old ideologies of the world in this kingdom system. It will not work. The kingdom system has its work. It has its ideology. It has its mindset. It has the way it operates. It has its beliefs. And if you want to make it in this kingdom, you must subscribe to the kingdom ideology. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Is somebody blessed here tonight? Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Look at what the Bible says. That you put off concerning your former conduct, your old ways, the old man which grows corruption according to the deceitful lust. Next verse. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Kingdom reality is available, but your worldly system and ideology will never undo kingdom realities. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When you got born again, you must be ready to unlearn some old things and learn the new way of the kingdom. There is something you know, brothers and sisters, that is the reason for where you are. There is an ideology you have held on to that has kept you stagnant in life. There is a reason why people don't want to do business with you. There is a reason why some certain things will never happen in your life. There are belief systems you have that will keep you little and small. If you are not ready to let them go, you will never see the next level. There is a level, there are some things you believe that brought you to this level.
if you will go further from here, you must believe some certain new things to launch you to the next levels. So mind reformation happens when you consistently unlearn old ideologies and relearn kingdom ideologies. You must give yourself wholly to it. You must declare that you are no longer in allegiance to old ideology, old belief systems. There are certain things you will intentionally say no to, not because they are bad, but because it's not the way of the kingdom. There are certain things you intentionally cut yourself out of. One day, instead of going to Akube to buy Akube clothes, one day, why not enter the boutique? I know the money for 4 shirts is what you will use to buy 1 shirt. Buy that 1 shirt. Break a jig. Break it. It's not living beyond your means. It's telling God, I'm ready for the next. You have always been the one saying, give me. Why not one day look for someone and transfer 1,000 naira to the person? Are you giving money? Yes. Just take it. You are telling God, I have the ability to be a giver too. These are kingdom ways. As long as you position yourself to always receive, you will always be at the mercy of the givers. Apostle, I don't have much. Start with 100 naira charge card. Give to those people who doesn't even expect it. Those who cannot give you back. Do you know, I have an ideology. By the virtue of my performance, by God's mercy in my office, every time, every other time, maybe once in a month or once in 2 months, my director then would ask me to come to his office to give me a gift. You know, he give me cash gifts sometimes. Most of the time, I'm sure I've received that gift like 3 or 4 times now. They will look at the report, the performance in the old directory, and say, ah, tell Elohim to come and see me. Every time the first time I was going there, the Holy Ghost taught me, don't go there empty-handed. Now, what can I give somebody who is far above me on the job? I went to the mall and I bought a carton of table water and I carried it and I gave it. When I brought it to his office, look at me and said, you brought water for me. I said, sir, just take this, sir. He looked at it and noted it. Called me back a week and I said, thank you for the water. I'm drinking your water now. I went there again last concluded week. Called me for such a thing. And when I was going, I went there, I carried the water too. The following day, he called me and said, thank you for your water. Do you know what you are doing? You are letting the person know, sir, that the ideology that makes you a giver also exists in me. In a matter of time, I will also ascend to your level. Every time you communicate giving, you are telling God you are bigger than this level. I will get to the law of prosperity. I will teach you then. But many of us have not been taught this. What you know is, give me. Lord, I am going out. Let everybody give me. Everybody give me. You will never grow like that. As simple as 50 naira. Do you know you can pay somebody's cab? I was coming from one place. I didn't go with my car. And I was in the cab. And I had 2 elderly women were arguing with the driver. No, we will pay 70 naira. That one is saying, pay 70. He's saying, no, we will pay 50 naira. And the 3 of them at the back were arguing, were begging. I was becoming something serious. When they got to their bus stop, I told the driver, let them all go, I'll pay. And the driver announced, I said, hey, Sheo, how much did I pay? Maybe 210 naira, 220 naira. But that is much more than that. That is communicating to God that this guy is a giver. If you give him more, he can give more. But we don't know this. The world has taught us that you must always receive. And by that, we are sustained the attitude of receiving. And so we never have. It's the way of the kingdom. That's why you must pay attention to these kingdom laws. There are certain things you will do deliberately. Do you know sometimes I'll put myself in the shoe of somebody else's father, whom I'm not his biological father, adult, and play that role. You know what I'm telling God? I'm telling God, Lord, I have the heart of a father. If you can invest the resources of the father of me, I will play it well. These things are languages in the spirit. But we don't know these things. Mindsets, reformation. I'll rush through it. Number one instrument for reforming the mind of the believer is the ministry of the word by the Holy Spirit. Update your record. The ministry of the word by the Holy Spirit. Not the ministry of the word only. The ministry of the word must come from the office of the Holy Spirit. The Bible you read cannot change you. It is the one the Holy Spirit brings to light that will change you. The Bible you cram cannot change you. It is the one the Holy Spirit implants in your heart that changes you. The ministry of the word by the Holy Spirit. Do you know you can take up a study about kingdom prosperity from this word, and you will find reference upon reference, and you will allow the Holy Spirit to guide you to the pathway of riches and prosperity in the kingdom? Do you know you can decide to study about health from the word of God? Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. This is a very popular scripture in this family. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Acts 20 and verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you, build a new mindset, build you up, and having belt now, is able to deliver to you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Give yourself wholly to these things. Give yourself wholly to it. That's what the Bible says. It said, give us that place. Let the word of God dwell richly in you, in all wisdom. Let it dwell. Let it dwell. You want to experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Give yourself to meditation. Can I tell you what meditation is? Meditation is that period where the Holy Spirit drop egg conception into your heart, into your mind. I don't want to use some X language, that's why I'm being careful. In meditation, that is when the Holy Spirit have intercourse with your mind. When you take a scripture, Gentiles shall come to your light, and you place your hand there and you close your eyes and you permit the Holy Spirit to take you on a journey. While you are doing that, the Holy Spirit will be dropping the eggs that will cause you to have a light that will compel Gentiles to come to in meditations. Meditation is having spiritual imaginations in the world. I call it dreaming with God, that you can sit in a room and find a word from the scripture and see yourself ministering in all the nations of the world, and see yourself having business representative in all the nations of the world while you are in one room. You saw how God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13. He said, from where you are, you don't need a visa to travel with your mind. You don't need people to come and hold your hands. You don't even need a flight. Where you are, you can sit down there and your mind travels to US. I was one day in Ondo town when the Lord delivered the message. And the Lord said to me, I will make sure this assignment touched the end of the world. Guess what I did? I didn't have the map of the world. So I used my hand. I drew something on the ground. I said, this is Asia. This is Africa. This is Europe. This is America. This is South America. I wrote everything and I began to stand upon each of them. In the name of Jesus, my voice will be heard. Long ago, 2012. 2013, I began to stand there. I would close my eyes. I would imagine that I'm coming to this continent and the nations are coming. I did that for all of the continents. I told you my story last week, how I will hold Maggi and Gary to break a fast, and I will close my eyes in the midst of that, and I will see the nations, the riches. I will see men coming on their knees to honor me with their resources while I'm holding Maggi and Gary. I became so intoxicated about this greatness that if I meet any man for the first time who will happen to be my friend, I will tell him, look at me very, very well. I'm a global entity. I looked at Pastor K one of those days. I said, look at me, Pastor K. All of this sacrifice of fasting and praying is not in vain. The world will pay us, and it will be a privilege for them to say,
thank you. They will come with their resources on their knees and say, sir, can you manage this house at Azokoro? Can you manage this car? On their knees. So why should I be running around to chase all of those things now? Meditation. Many of us just read the Bible. Genesis chapter. What are we reading this month? Okay, Ephesians and Colossians. Ah, Colossians, what the Ephesians law? Let me start. Paul, the apostle of Jesus. I finished Colossians. Hold on, show. So that when the apostle want to ask, I'll tell him I read it. And nothing is Colossians in your life. Nothing is emphasizing in your life. Listen to me. The goal of every scripture is to bring you into the experience of that scripture. When you read and Jesus prayed for blind Bartholomew, stay there until something will rest on you. That when you meet a blind man, you can repeat that experience. That's the goal. Paul said you are a living epistle. That the epistle we give you is not so that you can cram them. It will give you the word so that you can become the physical manifestation of the things that we teach. You have read many times how Jesus do miracles. How many of the miracles have you done in your life? Second, instrument for mindset reformation. Number one is the ministry of the word by the Holy Spirit through meditations, imaginations. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul was speaking there. He said, when you give yourself to these things, he said, your profiting will appear to all. He said, take heed to yourself, to doctrine. 15, the previous verse. He said, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evidence to men. Your progress, as you give yourself to meditation of the word. The word, you are not the one that will tell them, I'm making progress. They will look at your life and say, this guy is making progress. My life is ever on progressive, sir. My life is always progressing. My life is never stagnant. Every day there is a new shift. When I catch a light, most time I'm not the one that will tell people I've caught a light. It is my life that will begin to tell people, I think he has caught this new light now. Number two, through the ministry of prayer. Now, why prayer? There are certain kingdom mindset that will be downloaded into you directly from heaven. Directly from heaven. We call it vision. There are certain things your mind cannot meditate into, but when you pray, God can give you a vision of. That's why God comes to you in the dream of the night. You will never meditate as a person that you will one day will be going to the world and be doing crusade until you sleep in the night and see yourself doing crusade. Many of us, your background might not allow you to think that your business, your product can be exported to the nations of the world. God will now take you on a prophetic sleep and will now give you a prophetic dream, and you see your brand name written on a product, and you will see white men, Asian, and you will see people buying that product and enjoying it. God is trying to tell you, I want to do something with you. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, come out. Come out. Count the stars. What is God telling him? God is telling him, I want to do something with you, and I need you to grasp it. Through the ministry of prayers, we get direct download of kingdom ideologies. Number three, follow men who have gone ahead. Follow men. You should have somebody who is doing what you are about to do at a global level. There is nothing you want to do that is new. Somebody else is doing it or has done it. If you can check the history, you will find someone who has done it before or has done something very similar to it before. Find men. Find men. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, the Passion. It said, don't be lazy. Be follower of those who through faith and patience has obtained the promise. I wrote it here. I said, greatness is almost impossible when there is not a reference. Greatness is almost impossible without a reference. If they tell you, dress like Brother Peter, and you have never seen Brother Peter before, you don't know how Brother Peter dressed, how will you know when you are dressing like Brother Peter? But if I say, Brother Peter, come, can you all sing? You say yes. Oh yeah, next week everybody dress like Brother Peter. Will it be easy for you to become it? The first thing you know is that I will go and get the kind of material. So you know the material that makes up his dressing. So if I look at a man, say Bishop David Oyedepo, our great father, and I desire that, no, this man is going the path I want to go in life, the first thing is to find out what are the material he's feeding on. If I can get his materials, I can construct his life. I can construct his ideologies. Follow men of greatness. Follow their teachings. Follow their tapes, their books. Read biographies. Read biographies. I love biographies so well. Read biographies. The stories of men, the secrets of men are hidden in their stories. Read biographies. Don't just think about Adeboye. Go and read the story. How he started. What he did. What are the decisions he made at the point in his life. Then submit to mentor. Submit to mentors. Mentorship, I mean. Submit to mentorship. Find somebody who you believe can help you. I've said it here and again. A mentor is not somebody who constructs you into his own image. A mentor is somebody who understands your uniqueness and is ready to pay the price to construct you into that unique person that God has made you. So if you find such a person that understands it, submit to him. Sir, can you be my mentor? Can you be this? And be submitted. I've had many people walk up to me and say, the Lord said that you should be my mentor. And by what they mean is that when I want to do party, you must always be there. That's the definition of mentorship. I've seen all manner of things. Many people believe that when they want to have a program, their mentor must put hands in their pocket and must support their program. That to them, that's mentorship. Every major event I've had in my life, there is none of my spiritual father. In fact, my spiritual father, my mentor, was never there. And that does not make any difference. I had my wedding. It was not there. It doesn't have to be there. That's not what is mentoring me on. But these days, you see someone who said, God said, you should be my father in the Lord. And then just because he had an event, you are not there, that you stop being his father in the Lord. Too many children and childish in the body of Christ. But when you find a genuine mentor whom the Lord leads you to, go to the person and submit. And be ready for the dealings and the training. And lastly, healthy exposure. I talked about exposure while I was talking. Do you know the first day I entered the flight? I thank God that God gave me that instruction that day. A couple of years ago, I wanted to go to my normal by the road and take, I think it was Abuja. Yeah, I was going to Abuja. And it just came by the knowing that no, if you want this realm, and if God has shown you that you are going to the nations, why not start rehearsing with flights? I was going that day, my mind was fighting my body. This whole money can take you to Abuja and come back. The one you are using for one trip. And when I sat down there that day, the trip that would have taken me 13 hours with body ache took me less than 1 hour with peace and a meal. I told myself, so there is a better life like this. May I never live that life again. Immediately, nobody lay hands on me. Nobody say, I see a vision, don't go by the road. I saw that vision while I was seated in the plane. First, I look at the class of people who were seated together. I said, this is my class. I don't know what I've been doing with those guys that will be smelling in the bus. Somebody will want to talk in the bus. Driver! What will come out of the person's mouth? You will not recover till you get to your destination. Exposure is good. It opens your eyes. If you don't see beyond where you live, you don't know anything, sir. Exposure is good. Many of you pride on the fact that you are the local champion. Now we dey run things here. When you get to somewhere else, you discover that you are a toddler. You don't know anything. Give yourself healthy exposure. Do you know, I would go most times those days, I would go to the mall and do window shopping. My fiance then, now my wife, she's better now. I will be pricing things. You'll be telling, you know the way somebody is pressing you, I say, 2 million. She'll feel like me. No, I'll stand there and say, how much is this? It's 2.5. I said, 2.5. No, there's one I saw. It has gold. I told you a story of how I went to a boutique and they brought out one shoe and I said, how much?
And let's say 45,000. Thank God 45,000 naira shoe is no longer, like God's grace is, it's no longer a big deal. But then it was a big deal. When they brought the shoe, and I looked at the shoe, I said, how much? They said 45K. I thought the shoe to see if there's a gold, if there's a gold somewhere that is eating. There was no gold. So I coupled myself again. I said, no, I don't want this type. I have this type at home. Now wait. Do I have a black shoe at home? Is it not black shoe? Was I lying? No. I said no, I have something like this at home. I have something like this at home. Don't worry. You don't have the type I'm looking for. I put my hand in the pocket. I went out. I began to think as I was going out. 45. 45 years, at least out about 8. But thank God for exposure. And now I don't even know much as I should know. But we daily expose ourselves. What am I trying to say? Give yourself healthy exposure. Go online sometimes. Best university in the world. Enter. Let them bring the images. Then go on YouTube and see how the campus look. Many of you, if you go to somebody's house and they ask you to go to the toilet, when you are done, you will not know how to flush. Because what you are used to is and the water will come out. But they no longer do that one again. Where you will press, you know the handle now, you press the handle, PM, and the water. That one is no longer existing anymore. There are some that the moment you are done and you stand up, it flushes it all by itself. So when you enter for your toilet and you don't know that when you stand up, it will flush. Maybe you know the way some of you now, you want to take first half recess. And then you stand up and the thing flushes. What's good? Is there anybody around? Somebody came to the bank one day and was going to enter the trap door. He pressed the trap door. He entered. The thing closed at the back. You know, this one at the front has not opened. The guy looked back and he looked back. So, only the money. You are laughing, but it's true. You know, this door that the moment you are going close, it will open up by itself. Somebody was going close. You don't put the person's hand back. You will never know what you don't know until you stand with it one-on-one. One-on-one. You look at it, it look at you. You tell yourself, so I don't know much. I entered that great man's bedroom. I said, okay, you are still going to divide this into bedroom. And he said, no, this is my bedroom. I said, no, I mean, this is a hall. He said, that is my bedroom. He said, this is my bedroom now. This is like 5 rooms put together. Then immediately I remember one Yoruba proverb. They say, no matter how rich you are, you cannot sleep in 2 bedrooms together. I look at this one, he's sleeping in 5 bedrooms together. That day I made up my mind. I'm not building a mushroom house. LD. Exposure. Some things you have to fight. I'll give you 5 minutes tonight, though. You will tell yourself, poverty was normal in my family, but now I know that poverty is of the devil. I will never be poor. God gave me certain things to do for that great man. I did it. When I got it done, as anointed as I was, God told me, kneel down, let him bless you. The man, I knelt down, the man blessed me. Verbatim, the grace will reproduce. Just give me a little time. Around the house, what I see in hotels, I saw it in house. Somebody wants to leave a swimming pool space, a barbecue place where you feel like taking barbecue, the place where you take just wine, the place where you can just sit down alone with God and meditate in the evening and think about the days to come and strategize your destiny. All of those things I watch in the movie. Somebody saying, this is my reality. As I was walking, I was speaking in tongues. Lord, if you can do this in this person's life, mention his name, you will do it in my life. I open up my mind. I delete 3 bedroom flat apartment immediately from my mind. I delete it. Lord, no, I don't want it again. No. Do you know right from the beginning of my days? I don't know how God did that to me. I don't believe that your sight
The new house you are building should be at the outskirts of Ibadan. If you are close to me, you would have heard me say this and again. That when you say we are moving to our site, it means you are moving away from Ibadan. You are going to bye-bye to Ibadan. Now, if that's your site, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. You are at a class in life. The Lord will relocate you. Me, I usually believe that there is always a land at the midst of Ibadan. Why should I say, because I want to build house now, I will now go and look for somewhere where when they want to divide between Oyo and Osun state, I'll be the one saying, no, Osun, not Oyo, Oyo, not Osun. No. There is still land in Oluyoli estate. There is still land in Bodija. There is still land waiting for you. Take away the limitation from your mind. Those who are there are not bigger than you. This is not materialistic. This is kingdom. Somebody gave me a shoe. When I checked out the price, it was 50,000. One man said, sell it. The other man said, wear it. God punish the devil. Put it on. At the level, I was buying materials for 350. If you're in that class, hallelujah. Material, native material, 350, 500. I will buy it and give tailor and rob the tailor. Pack like three clothes and give him money that I was supposed to make for one clothes. So many of you do it, you know. May God forgive you. Then God told me to upgrade. I went there one day. I wanted to buy material. I said that one material per yard is 2005. My mind echoed 2005. And I copied myself back. I said, no, now 2005. You can buy this. And I shifted for life. I will never buy anything less than that anymore. Because you know the law of life. When you graduate your faith from that level, from your mind, nature will see, God will see, the faithfulness of God will see to it that you never go back until you come back yourself. I can't buy material of five. If that's what you are wearing, apologies. This is not materialistic. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I can't wear it anymore. Many of you, when you want to buy rituals, you should go to the Abokis. Bless God for your life. Do it at a level. But I can't stand by that road anymore to say Aboki are going fine. It can't be fine to me anymore. Started using perfume, 16 naira perfume. Lovila, or what's the name of that perfume now? Those ones that you will be smelling like mala, you know those ones. I will put the thing on, 16 naira. The thing is like this, half roll on. You know it. I know you will know it. But I, as my life changed per time, one thing I make up my mind is this: any level I have passed, I will not go back. I will not go back. This what I'm giving you tonight is greater than 10 days of fasting and prayer. Because when you fast and pray, your mind is still the judge of your life. I'm giving you 5 minutes. You will rise up on your feet now, and you will begin to declare, enough is enough to demonic poverty ideologies. That mindset that says you have to be small to make heaven. You have to be small to be a Christian. You have to be little. That mind that will not permit you enjoy everything that is already yours in Christ. You declare tonight, I have nothing to do with you anymore. It is to you according to your mind. You can live a life that will not beg. You can live a life that will not borrow. You can live in affluence. You can live in wealth. You can live in health. You can be a first-class candidate. You can be a first-class student in class and in life. Lift up your voice and pray. I separate myself from the mindset that kept people small in my family, the mindset of poverty, the mindset of management, the mindset of smallness. I cut away from it. Christ died so that I can have all things in abundance. I subscribe to the abundant life that is available in Christ. I subscribe to the abundant life that is available in Christ. My heart, my mind, undo riches. My mind, undo success. My life, my mind, undo greatness. I was born to be great. I was born to be rich. I was born to be a success. I was born to be on top. not a local champion. I declare my disloyalty to mediocre mindset. Poverty is not part of life. Debt is not part of life. There's an abundant life. I choose that life. I am not small. I am not little. I was made for the top. I will live on the top. I declare separation from all the mindsets, all the belief systems, all the traditions that has kept me small and little. My mind is renewed. Whatever God can afford, I can enjoy. Whatever God can afford, I can enjoy. Nothing is too expensive for me. Nothing is too good for me. Nothing is too expensive for me. Nothing is too big for me. Hallelujah. Do you know that as an eagle, your mind can stop you from flying? There's a story of a lion captured as a young cub lion by the hunter. Now the hunter keeps flocks of sheep and put the lion in the midst of the sheep. And every time a bigger lion, a big lion is coming to roar, all the sheep will run and this little lion also will run. One day, according to that story, this small lion was drinking water, a representative of the world. That's why you must behold yourself at the perfect law of liberty. So this lion was drinking water, and it was drinking water. He saw his face on the face of the water and saw that he looked so much like that thing that comes to scare them away. That he doesn't look like the other people that run. He looks like that one that comes. The next time that lion shows up, instead of running with the sheep, he refused to run. For the first time, what other people were afraid of came and wrapped his hand round about him, and the two of them went into the jungle only for them to come a while after and come and steer away the sheep. So all the while, it has always been the lion, but his mind told him, you are a sheep, run. You are a sheep, be afraid. You are a sheep, they will kill you. You are a sheep, you cannot be great. But you have a lion. So I'm going to declare Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. It said that your faith will become effectual by acknowledging everything that is every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. If you never acknowledge it, you will never see them in life. You are going to stand. Everything you can remember that the death of Christ has paid for, you will declare them over your life that you have them. You will declare over your life that you have them. If you remember that it's death, his burial, his resurrection has brought abundant life, has brought health, has brought riches, you will declare it over your life. Somebody, wherever you are, lift up your voice and declare what you got in Christ. He that withholdeth not his son, but gave him up to us, how will he with him not give us all things? Christ has died so that I can enjoy the riches, the prosperity of this kingdom. I have abundance of all things. I have abundance of all things. I have favor. Favor of men, favor with men, and favor with God. Things are working for my favor. I am never small. I will never be at a disadvantage. It may not work for the rest, but it will surely work for me. It may not work for the rest, but it will surely work for me. They may reject the rest, but I cannot be rejected. Make declaration. From this day, I believe that only the best is enough for me. From this day, I believe I am not part of those who are suffering in Nigeria. I'm not part of the poverty people in Nigeria. I have ascended to the realm of wealth and riches. I'm not among the masses of poor people. I'm not among the masses of sick people. I'm not among the masses of struggling Nigerians. I'm not among the masses of poverty stricken Nigeria. I'm among the wealthy. I'm among the rich. I'm among the blessed. I'm among the influential. I'm among the great. I'm among the nobles. My mind is expounded. Whatever is available in God is permitted in my life. Hallelujah. Father, tonight I stretch my hands to your people. Every ideology that has kept them stagnant, every ideology that has been a limitation to their lives, every mindset that has robbed them from experiencing what you are for them, tonight I declare it leaves them in the name of Jesus. A surgical work of the Spirit that will cut away wrong ideologies, that will cut away wrong mindset, that will cut away wrong that we cut away wrong belief system. Tonight as you sleep, may it be done in the name of Jesus. That kingdom mindset that allows everything available in Christ, I decree tonight it is downloaded unto you in the name of Jesus. Beginning from now, favor is normal in the kingdom. Therefore, you will never experience disfavor again in the name of Jesus. Beginning from now, lifting is normal in the kingdom. He said the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more. Stagnation is forbidden in the kingdom. Therefore, I declare the last stagnation you saw is the last you will ever see in the name of Jesus. He said we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet he became poor, so that you can have access to the riches. Every poverty mentality, every poverty mindset that has denied you from experiencing the richness and the prosperity of the kingdom, tonight they leave you forever in the name of Jesus. Materials that will shape your mindset and bring you into kingdom reality. Materials and training, messages and books, the places of the scripture that you require to transform your mind, I bring you into it tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Say from today, declare, say from today, only the best is enough for me. From today, only the best is enough for me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
We believe that you've been greatly imparted. To get more updates about the movement and to download our messages, visit www.ariseshinechristiannetwork.com.
Also, you can join us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and MixLR at ArriseSCN.
Or you can also reach us on WhatsApp or call us on 070-5314-5157. Keep shining.
The key.